General Motors on Safari. Here is adventure. Excitement. And danger. Bringing you the African bushveld of today and yesterday in dramatized fact, fiction, and true life documentary. General Motors on Safari.
In the remote northwestern corner of Southwest Africa lies an area of 22,000 square miles, which has been wholly set aside for the preservation of game. This is the Etosha Game Reserve, one of the biggest in the world. On the eastern border stands the rest camp of Namutoni, its watchtower a solitary landmark in the endless horizons of Mopane scrub and sand filt. It was here, 60 years ago, that seven German soldiers successfully resisted an attack by more than 500 rebellious Ovambos. The exact date? January the 28th, 1904. Next morning, a heliograph message was received at Okukuyu, 55 miles away, that the fort had been burnt down. But in 1907, Namutoni was redesigned and built to its present shape. Well, the marauding hordes of Ovambos have gone, but in their place, a new problem has presented itself. Marauding elephants. Directly south from Namutoni runs the game reserve fence, straight as an arrow for 30 miles, before it swings away westwards to form the southern border of the reserve. Beyond the fence lie the farmlands that stretch eastward to Tsumeb. For many miles the fence stands solid and intact. For many miles it looks as if it has been bombarded with mortar shells. Huge gaps stretch sometimes for hundreds of yards. Evidence that some huge bull elephant has tracked blithely into the adjoining farmlands in search of water. Of course, they have to be brought back. This is the task of the game rangers, the task of one game ranger in particular, Peter Stuck. It is really his story. So I've called it Stuck and the Elephants. The offices of the chief game warden of the Etosha lie at Okukuyu, and it was here that Gordon Pethick recorded the following interview with the warden.
Quite frankly, Mr. Roche, I don't really know how to set about this. I mean, you've got the elephants pushing off into the farmlands and tearing down the fence, but why is it so important to get them back?
Let me explain the situation this way. The Etosha is as flat as a billiard table, but in the southeast corner the ground rises into hilly country on the neighboring farms. And, these hills act as a watershed during the rainy months. That's November, December, January, February, and March. The streams gather and form pans on the farms, which are naturally attractive to the elephants. They move out of the reserve, breaking the fence like so much matchwood, stay away for a day, maybe a week, and sometimes even longer. And now it's usually the lone bulls that do the damage. They move off, leaving the herds behind them. And this tends to disrupt the breeding cycle. No bulls, no babies. Anyway, sometimes, the herd tracks off with the bulls, and then the damage to the farms becomes considerable.
So either way, you've got to get them back to the reserve, I see. Now, how do you manage that?
What, get them back? On horseback, we track them down using bushman horses, and then literally chase them into the reserve, and that job usually falls to Peter Stark.
Does he do it on his own?
With a bushman, two or three if it's a big herd, but on the whole, he likes to work with just one or two. Easier to control the operations. Tell me, how are you going to get your sound recordings?
Can I ride with him?
No, sorry, not in your life. Even if you were the best horseman in the world, you'd run into trouble in the dense bush. You've got to know the habits of the elephant. You've got to know the terrain, and most important of all, you've got to have a mutual understanding with your horse. That comes only after months of training. No, sorry, Gordon. I'd like to get you back into the SABC in one piece. Of course, there's another problem. It's a big area. It might not be so easy to find the elephants.
What are the chances?
Pretty good, I think. Stark's camping up at the fence now. At any rate, if they're on the farms, you'll certainly track them down.
Roucher? Nini, that's us. Ja, ek ken hom. Hy het 'n plaas langs aan die suidoostelike grens aan die reserve. Wel wat van hom?
Blykbaar is Polifa gestraat op twee plekke in sy heiningsstreek.
Oh.
Daar is geweldig druk. Ek praat met Jude Kerstel.
Ja, ja. Pieter Stark is op die oomblik in daardie gebied op patrollie en hy behoort die situasie te kan behartig. Hoeveel olifante het meneer Brand gesê is daar?
Ek nie gesê, het meneer die skade aangevind.
Oh, ek sien. Maar goed, dankie dat jy laat weet het hoor. Well, Gordon, it seems you're in luck. The elephants are on the move. That means bang goes another section of our fence.
Huh?
Yes. You know the time we spend repairing it. Ah, well, that's another story. As fast as it goes up, it comes down.
Yeah.
Faster. Right, we'll be leaving early tomorrow morning. I'll pick you all up at, say, 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock? Fine.
Oh, by the way, please would you sign this indemnity form, just in case, you know.
Right.
As twilight deepened over Okakuyu, Gordon Pethick went in search of the rangers and camp staff who know Peter Stark intimately. What sort of a man is he? This man who spends well over two-thirds of the year alone in the bush. A man to be admired? Certainly. A man to envy? Well, it depends on your outlook.
Peter, the more you get to know him, the more he surprises you. He's a quiet fellow. The bush teaches you that. But beneath that reserve there's an iron will. When he sets his mind to do something, he really does it. You track a poacher for miles and miles, right across the Toshi if necessary, following every little sign, a broken twig, a flattened patch of grass, a scuff in the dust. Yes, just as you read it about in the books. And heaven help that poacher when he catches him.
Yes, I saw a poacher's dog that Peter caught. He'd hung it up in a tree by the neck, right in the middle of a pen the poachers frequent. That was a warning, of course. It sounds cruel, but then you've never seen these dogs savage as springbok. They've got it, eh?
I once went out with Pete in the bush. I went there particularly because we ran out of food. We had to live on berries and bones, everything that was able. I wouldn't have known where to start, but he knew all about it. I must admit, for a few days afterwards, I didn't feel so good. But it didn't seem to affect him.
He's as strong as an ox. He could lift a wild beast on the back of a duck single-handed. That's the last good he lifted off the ground.
What strikes you most about Peter Stark?
His eyesight, his sense of smell and direction. In fact, all the qualities you need in the bush are outstanding. And he's as good with a pistol as he is with a .375.
The most remarkable thing about Peter, I think, is his ability to train horses. Particularly these bushman horses you get in this part of the world. He can make them walk sideways, backwards, change stride in mid-gallop. You name it, Peter can do it. It's got to be that way, of course. Because when an elephant comes, well, you don't get a second chance.
But the one who knows Peter Stark best, perhaps, is his wife.
It's a saddening thing when your husband spends so much time away from home as Peter does. But then I'm getting used to it. I've got a lot of work to do in the house, and the children keep me busy.
Were those the three boys I saw running around the garden?
Yes, they're as wild as their father.
Would you say that Peter was wild?
No, not really. When he's at home, he's quiet. What do you say? He's quite domesticated.
Domesticated?
Domesticated, yes.
Tell me, Mrs. Stark, are you frightened that he may not come back?
Always. It's a dangerous job, and... Well, it wouldn't be so bad if I could be with him, but not knowing just waiting.
I know what you mean. Did you ever go with him?
I used to, and I loved it, but now the children...
Tell me, you play the guitar?
You're very observant.
Yes, I noticed it when I came in.
Yes, I play it, not very well. I sing and I whistle at the same time.
You mean you can actually sing at the same time as you whistle?
Yes, I learned to do this as a child. Just lucky, you know.
But that's fantastic. Would you mind very much recording something? Anything will do.
Oh, no,
but, please, just a small demonstration.
All right. Just let me get my guitar.
There and then, Mrs. Stark performed what seemed the impossible. She actually sang and whistled at the same time, humming the melody and whistling the harmony. With the sound of the lullaby echoing in his ears, Gordon retired for the night, with confused thoughts about a woman anxious for her husband's safety, and a man, somewhere out there in the bush, anxious to bring his elephant home. At dawn next morning, sharp at 6 o'clock, the group of four set off to join Peter Stark at the southeastern patrol camp on the Atosha fence. They reached their destination at midday. Already, the bushman horses, three of them, were saddled, and Peter Stark was making his last-minute preparations. Although impatient to start on the elephant herding, he relaxed for a few moments to talk to Gordon Pethick about the bushman horses and the dangers of the forthcoming chase. And as he talked, his horse kept nuzzling his cheek.
They are quite small, more the pony type. They are strong little horses, which are quite handy. In the bush, they know the wildlife and everything about the bush. They know it.
They've been brought up in the surroundings that they're going to hunt in and chase in. Yeah,
right. What I also wanted to pinpoint is the training methods. Yeah, I mostly train them what we call dressage.
Yes. Yeah.
And the dressage is there to make your horse respond to the rider's commands as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
And of course, the shooting must also be taught.
Yes, that's interesting. How do you teach them to put up with gunshots and rifle shots?
First, I start shooting distant away from them, mm-hmm. and then getting nearer and nearer. Mm. And if I see he doesn't get afraid anymore, I go on the horse and start from shooting on top until he is standing like a tree.
Notice you've got a 17-strand fence all around that boundary.
It doesn't do any difference to an elephant. Some tear the fence with their trunks. Some of them take their poles with their trunks and they break them into three or four pieces, as we take a match and break a match. Mm. From that break, we start shaking the elephant.
Yeah. Right. Once you've spotted him, do you begin the chase straight away?
No, I approach him from under the wind, mm-hmm. so that he doesn't get my wind, so that I can get as near as possible. And if I'm near enough, if I think I can start the chase, I go upwind, so that the moment he gets my wind, I start shouting. And I start shooting into the air so that he can connect human scent
with the noise.
With the noise.
And the chasing.
And the chasing.
And he usually legs it. Now, how do you get him to go in the right direction towards the reserve fence and not further into the farmland?
I think that the elephant himself knows very well he's not allowed to stay on the farmland. Mm-hmm. And, but mostly if I start chasing, they rush in direction of the game reserve.
And do they charge you?
It happens, yes.
It did happen, as he was quickly to find out. But the immediate problem was to fix the tape recorder, strap it onto his back, and tie the microphone onto his chest.
Don't worry, the recorder's out on firm enough. It's just his darn microphone. There you are. I think that'll do the trick. It's going now.
अब उसी कारक हमें रखा उसी भतवा तक रहता कि अब उसे नहीं मची
Right, the volume set. You're off. Good luck.
everybody.
Peter Stark and his two bushman herders set off to find the marauding elephant. Through a gap in the fence and into the adjoining farmland. The tracks are fresh. The elephant has only crossed the night before, and the wrinkled pad marks are clearly embossed on the sand. The tusker is moving northwestwards. Dense acacia scrub gives way to even thicker Mopani forest. Hardly the ideal conditions to look for a dangerous bull. Riding at a canter, Stark leads the bushman ever deeper into forests of Mopani Hills.
Well, he bought his armory. Well, they love you to be ladder after they are in Mr. Andre.
Sensing the presence of the elephant, Stark gathers the bushman close behind him. The Mopani is thinning, and a sighting is now a distinct possibility. The damage to the trees is quite fresh. The old tusker has browsed heavily here. Ponds, leaves and twigs are found lying at the bottom of every acacia. He can't be far now. The next fringe of bush, perhaps, or just round the corner, near that stamp. But exactly where? And there he is. Yeah. Not more than half a mile away. Now the trackers must proceed cautiously, silently. They will move upwind, keeping their scent away from the bull. They must get up close to begin the charge. The old tusker, one tusk gone from a battle, perhaps, is entirely oblivious of their presence. Stark, speaking fluent bushman, gives his riders a last-minute word of caution. Keep quiet. Keep close behind. Don't, whatever you do, get cut off. He checks his revolvers. First one and then the other. 12 rounds to use immediately. Plenty more in the bandolier. Adjust the stirrups slightly for the gallop. Keep low in the saddle. Keep an eye on the wind direction. And keep an eye on the elephant. 100 yards to go before they make a direct approach.
Quietly. He mustn't hear. Even the birds seem to sense the silence. The calm before the storm.
Come.
Moving in. 200 yards to go. 150. 100. Any moment now. Now! Get ready!
The elephant, momentarily bewildered, turns to face the horseman. His ears go forward, and he charges.
Hey! Pass up, Jeff! Oh, my God! Go! Back,
20 yards from the bushman on Stark's left, the one Tusker pushed to a lumbering horse, trunk swinging, head rocking his fury. A moment more, then another charge. This time from the side. Fleeing from the 6-ton avalanche, Stark gives the order to spread out and so confuse the old bull. Once again, the elephant pulls up in a cloud of dust. Stark, taking advantage of his confusion, gathers the bushman to him and heads back to the next assault. Right on the heels of the fleeing elephant, and the danger now is to get too close. The old bull, sensing that his pursuers have overreached themselves, swings straight into the path of the riders and stops. The horses, they are left. Like a child on a merry-go-round, the old Tusker now, completely dizzy, heads off in panic towards the reserve fence, abandoning all hopes of shaking off his pursuer.
Come on!
The old bull in full flight. The horses 100 yards behind him. Stark in the lead. The bushman trailing behind. The Tusker, now veering left, now swinging right, trunk stretched out before him, moves towards the fence, still in farmland. But going like a locomotive, like a gigantic bulldozer, straight for the reserve. He's going home.
Join us again next week for another story of the African Bushbelt. It might be fact, it might be fiction, in General Motors on Safari. Brought to you by General Motors South African, manufacturers of Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Chevrolet, Beaumont, Vauxhall, Opel, Holden, Bedford, and GMC Motor Vehicles.